this evening from the first chapter of the first epistle written by the Apostle Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found of praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves but to us they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, so also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. These two books, the first and second Peter, were written inspired of the Holy Spirit through a man whom we know very, very well in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as one of our Lord's disciples, and even closer, one of his apostles, and even closer yet in the inner circle of apostles, himself with James and John. Peter's life ends, we believe, as a martyr toward the end of a rather storied and active life, which really, in many respects, began at that time when his brother Andrew brought him to Jesus. And he left the nets behind and became, as Jesus encouraged him to become, a fisher of men. And from that time in his early adulthood until this, at the end of his life, we believe him to be an older man because Christ told him he would be in the last of John, in the last chapter there. He spends the entire time then making mistakes along the way, saying perhaps many things he shouldn't have early on. But he spends his time in interest of the Lord and the kingdom and doing what is right and best. And now he realizes his time on this earth is limited. We'll find in the second of these two epistles, in the first of chapter 1 of the second, that he makes reference to his decease, which is very soon to come. And he wants his readers to know those things that they must never forget. And in a sense, this is the idea that permeates both of the epistles. Peter's desire for his readers, and even for those of us, even in 2023, to remember those things we've known, because Peter realizes he's not going to be around in the flesh, in this life, in this world, forever, to repeat and report those things he's learned and known. And I think there's a reference to that, at least in the back of his mind, as he writes these last words we just read together in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. He has made reference more than once to things incorruptible. We have an inheritance incorruptible. Our redemption is because of the incorruptible aspect of the blood of Christ and not by corruptible silver and gold. And here at the end, he talks about the incorruptible nature of the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. And in contrast to these things which are incorruptible, which won't cease to be because of the rust and corruption, the corrosion, the decay that is so much a part and parcel of this world, he then reports a passage from the Old Testament when he says, "All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass." The grass withers, flower fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And I think in doing that, he sets up this contrast between that which will last in permanence and eternity and that which soon fades and flies away. You know, in Psalm 90, the psalmist speaks of the eternal nature of God as that wonderful 90th psalm begins. "O Lord, you've been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever, thou hast formed the earth and the worlds, even from everlasting to everlasting. You are God." And a few verses later, in contrast to that, the eternal nature of God, the psalmist goes on to say, "The days of our years are 70. And if by reason of strength I be 80, yet their strength is labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days and apply our hearts to wisdom." It's from that passage that Brother Brumley got the idea for his song we enjoy singing even today, "I'll Fly Away." It comes from Psalm chapter 90. But that contrast is the one that Peter is making here in the first chapter. Things that last and things that don't. Things that last, well, these are our eternal home, our inheritance. It's incorruptible. Things that last, our redemption in Christ. Not the corruptible things of silver and stone and gold, but rather it's the precious blood of Christ. Incorruptible. And this Word of God, which speaks of all of this and in words of heavenly language, flesh out the wonderful aspect of God's mystery now revealed. This gospel is incorruptible. The word is incorruptible. Which is what Peter is going toward in leaving this life. And which in a way he's leaving behind in leaving this life. Because Peter's life, in contrast to all of that, is life in the flesh anyway. Well, he puts it in the words of the Old Testament. It's like the grass, or like the flower of the grass. The grass withers, and the flower fades and falls. That's the way of life, the way of nature. I noticed Jerry is here this evening. Glad to see you, Brother Marlin. Ever since I've moved here and had our property there on Fargo, has been good to come and mow my lawn. And it's getting almost time now again, Jerry, to mow the lawn. Now, there's a wonderful time during the year, at least from the standpoint of some. I'm one of them. A wonderful time of year when the grass doesn't grow at all, when it just stays dormant. And it's always an amazing thing where during the spring and summer, it's so lively and it's green and growing. If you're not careful, the weeds are growing along with it. And you can hardly keep it managed. You can hardly keep it taken care of. It's always, but then the cold weather comes and every year the same thing seems to happen. I'm no prognosticator, but I can prophesy that it's going to happen again this next year if the Lord doesn't come first. And that is, it's going to get cold again. It'll stop growing again for a while. And the grass will wither. And if you've got flowers outside, they'll fade away. That's just the way of seasons, the way of life. And Peter says that's the way for all of us. He's not talking about grass and flowers. He says all flesh is as grass. And any glory we might have as those in the flesh, whether you're a king, a rich man, or a pauper, all the glory of man, like the flower of the grass, it comes, it grows, it's blossoming for a while and then quickly fades away. Because rich or poor, the words of Psalm 90 are true. The days of our years are 70, 80, we might say, in these days of medical marvels, 90s and maybe even 100, but they still are short compared to eternity and things that are incorruptible. And Peter, as I say, is writing this, realizing, we'll learn it by the first chapter of the second epistle, realizing that his time of departure is at hand. Those are borrowed from Paul, those words, but the idea is the same. He speaks of his soon to be coming demise, decease, his death. And with that firmly in mind, he realizes two things. Number one, flesh is so very frail. But there's something we go toward, there's something we can even leave behind that will last longer than our flesh that fails. It's easy to be a little bit despondent, if not somewhat depressed by the frailty and the fragility and the brevity of a lifetime. You know, when you're in school, you think your whole life is going to be wrapped up in going to school. You can't even imagine being out of school when you're in school. And now we look back on it and realize those days were so short. And when you've got kids running around the house, little kids, you think, I'll never have a life without kids again. And you look back on it, and those were such short days, such short, brief times. And looking back now on the life that's mostly lived, we realize how short things have been, how brief a lifespan really, really is. It's here and it's nearly gone and gone before you know it. Like the grass that comes and fades, the flowers that bloom and then fall, so our lives are. And if we don't think about things as Peter describes them here, that can make us a bit despondent. You might, outside of the teaching of Scripture, even ask questions like, what's the purpose of living? What's this all about? I'm here for such a short time. I've accomplished almost nothing. and it's too late to get started now. What am I going to do? I might as well not have even lived. Until you realize, as Peter tells us here, it's not about us and our flesh. It's about our inheritance. It's about our redemption. And it's about God's word, the gospel, all three of which aren't like our flesh. And Peter's proven that. How long has it been since Simon Peter walked the earth? I don't know. I haven't got the answer to that question. I don't do math in my head quite that quickly. It's been a long, long time since he left this earth. Sometime in the latter part of the first century, all the way now to the, the early days of the 21st century. But the fact is, a lot of time's gone by since he's left us. His flesh is long since over. Now, while he was living, it seemed like things were going well and things were continuing as they always had. Christ gives him a wake-up call in the last of John chapter 21. When he has allowed Peter three times to express his love for the Lord. After just a few days earlier, three times expressing the fact he doesn't even know Jesus. And now after reminding himself and confirming to the Lord, I love you. You know I love you. I love you. And Jesus says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. And then he tells him something that most of us, none of us know. Do you know what's going to happen when you die? I don't. But Peter did. Because Christ tells him then, when you're young, and I'm paraphrasing here just a bit, when you were young, you went where you wanted to. You dressed how you wanted to. But when you're old, you'll go where you don't want. And with outstretched hands, you'll be dressed as you would not want. And this he said, John writes, signifying by what death he would glorify the Lord. And so he realizes then he's going to live a lengthy life that will end in martyrdom, which is exactly what happened for him. But regardless, that many, many centuries have come and gone since the life of Simon Peter. Let me ask you, the inheritance he speaks of, is it, like Peter, gone? No, we still speak of it. We still hold that inheritance dear to our hearts. We still sing, I'll fly away. We still sing, if heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do? We still sing, heaven holds all to me. We have the same inheritance as our hope all these centuries later that Peter had all those centuries ago. And Peter here writes in the first chapter that by the resurrection of Christ, we have this renewed, this reborn hope, which concerns the inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for Peter, for those who first read this book, and for those of us even now still reading it. Our inheritance is still as much a reality for us as it was for him. And what about his redemption? He was redeemed by the same blood that redeems us. The same sacrificial lamb in Jesus Christ that died for Peter. That same Jesus died for us. And Peter realized his redemption wasn't because of anything he could buy, not brought about by any silver or gold or riches he had to offer. You can't buy your way into heaven. He couldn't then. We can't now. That redemption he had in Christ came from the incorruptible, precious blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ himself. And as I say, Peter, in the flesh, has left this life. But that redemption that he enjoyed is still just as much alive and potent to save and change and redeem as it was in those centuries past, because it's incorruptible. And what about the Word? And that's really what Peter's getting to here. All of what we've spoken of with respect to our inheritance, our hope of heaven, of our redemption and our sacrifice in Christ, all of this we learn about in the same way, all of us. We learn about it from the teaching of the Word of God. It's not an individual thing where we each have our own peculiar and unique dreams at night where God speaks to us in some still small voice and tells us of what we need to do for Him. No, all of us have the same source of inspired material that give us a guide by which to live and a map by which we get from this realm to the next. Now, Peter will say in the first part of the second epistle, chapter 1, that God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. In other words, we have everything we need, Peter says. Everything we need for knowing about life and how to live it, and especially how to live a godly life in Christ. We have everything we need in our knowledge we have in the Scriptures, in Christ Jesus. And that's the point Peter really wants to emphasize in both of these books. The knowledge we have from God's Word is that which will remain long after we're gone from this earth. And I asked a while ago how long it was that Peter had died from this year. A long, long time. And yet, what did we just do a moment ago? We read the words of the inspired Peter, which give us reason to believe and hope and endure all these years later. And the reason why is not because they're Peter's words. The reason why is they never were Peter's words. These are inspired words through Peter revealed to us. This Word of God, unlike our flesh that's here for a moment and then gone, unlike our lifetimes that are here today and gone tomorrow, the Word of God has endured the tests of time, the ravages of history, the onslaught of enemies. It still stands, and it's still just as effective and powerful as a sharp two-edged sword today as it ever was. And because of that, Peter knows after he is gone, those he loves so dearly and deeply in the church will not be left alone. They won't be left without any source of authority or information or faith or guidance. They'll have all they need if they just turn to the Word of God as the source of their knowledge. Now, that's why in the last of the second epistle, Peter can wrap the whole thing up by saying, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." The wonderful, wonderful news here is that every one of us have equal access to all the knowledge in the universe that God wants us to know. You may be a scholar among scholars or someone barely literate. It doesn't matter. We're all on the same level. All of us can know everything God wants us to know about life and godliness, what it means to live a full and rich life here and prepare for the best of all lives in the hereafter. All of us have the same access, because we all have the same Word, which is incorruptible. And that keeps us from being so very despondent about the brevity of life, realizing we're going somewhere that doesn't have corruption. We've been redeemed by something that doesn't have corruption attached with it. And we have a Word here we can base our lives upon, build a life upon. which is incorruptible. There's more to life than flesh, and there's more to us than meets the eye. We put our eyes toward heaven and our attention toward things spiritual. Well, I think I'm through for the evening. If any of you are here and in need of responding to the invitation, I bid you do so now as together we stand and as we sing.